Hello, teachers. Ben Jennings here, and we're on session number 3 in our study in Numbers. This particular lesson covers Numbers 13, 17 through 31, and it really focuses on the children of Israel heading getting to the edge of the wilderness, looking to go into the promised land. And really, this is a example. A lot of narratives are all descriptive rather than prescriptive. A lot of them have principles to follow that are affirmed in the law, affirmed in the rest of the Old and New Testaments, but they're not prescriptive. They're not telling us what to do. They're just telling us what happened. That being said, like, there are some lessons that's very obvious, like, this is what not to do. And that's kind of how we came up with this week's objective statement. Basically, by giving you how to be a failure, we learn how not to be a failure. And that's kind of the idea here. So every believer can live in disobedient failure. You can live in disobedient failure if you ignore 3 gifts from God that were some of the same kind of gifts that the children of Israel, the spies specifically, that went through, dealt with, and they just ignored what God was doing. You're going to find the first gift that they ignored as God-given instruction. You see that contained in the narrative in verses 17 through 20. It says this, "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan." Now, if you go back to in the text, back to verse number 1 and 2, God tells Moses, get these spies and send them into the land that I'm giving to them. So that's really what you see in verses 1 and 2, and then it describes who gets picked. There were 12 spies, one from each tribe that went, and so that's where we find ourselves in verse 17. Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. And when the land is, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether it be wood therein or not. And then he says this, and be ye of good courage. And be ye of good courage. That's a good important point. And bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So you see, in this particular section, you see Moses telling them to go look at what kind of land is there. Go look and see, evaluate the land that they're going into, specifically evaluate the land that God was already going to give to them. It is not explicit in the text that they were to go and look at the land to decide whether or not they would go in there. It was already given to them. It was just more of a fact-finding mission, more of a research-based mission. It's going to find out what is the land like, what are the people like. You know, I'm sure at some level it was geographical, like where do they live, and then it was also informational. What kind of place do they live in? Do they live in tents, or are they actually strongholds? Are they built out of with tents? It would be poles and cloths, or would it be like their walled cities with rock places to live, you know, that kind of a thing. And so really is a fact-finding mission. And he says to them, be of good courage. There's this good instruction there on what to do and how to do it. And to specifically here, be courageous in this. You don't have to worry. God's given us this land. God's given us this mission. And we see later on, because of what happens, that they ignore it, but they have good instruction that they did not heed. If you want to be a disobedient failure, don't listen to good instruction. Don't listen to the truth of what's been given. Ignore that completely. The second gift that they're given is God-given provision. And this is a very generalized gift, but talking about everything that was there. You can see kind of, as they go into this next section of the spies actually going into the land, that they saw the negative first, and then they saw positive, but they ignored the positive because they were so scared of the negative. They ignored the provision. meaning that wasn't the important thing. The gift that God was giving to them wasn't the important thing. What was important to them, you're going to see here, was that they saw the challenges. Verse 21. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rahob, as men come to Hamath, and they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, and the children of Anak were. Notice that. It says in verse 22, where the children of Anak were, meaning they saw that among the first things they saw. That becomes important later. It says, now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And these are real places, by the way. These are actual places. They went in, they're looking, and they're seeing all these people. They're seeing all these places. Verse 23, and they came into the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bear it between two upon a staff. I like grapes. I've never seen grapes that big. Those are some big grapes. Because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence, and they returned from the searching of the land after 40 days. They saw all kinds of things, pomegranates, figs. They saw this brook Eshcol. They see this gigantic cluster of grapes, and they bring that back. So they see all of these things, but it's almost like those things don't matter, as we're going to see here in a second, because they saw, it says, the children of Anak. God had given all kinds of provision. It was described before, this promised land they were going to, as a land of milk and honey. And yet that provision that was there was something that they diminished in their own minds, because they saw, as we're going to see, the children of Anak. So that leads us to the third gift that they ignored, God-given strength. It says here in verse 26, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the children of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all of the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them, and said, we came into the land whither thou sent us, and surely it flowered with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. So they come back and they show all of the provision. It's not that they didn't acknowledge any of the provision. They definitely acknowledge it. They're showing, how do you ignore basketball-sized grapes or whatever huge grapes that they had? It says this, though, and this is an interesting word. It kind of like juts up out of the text like a wall. It says, nevertheless, yeah, it's great, but nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Remember I said in the last section, they saw all these people, the children of Anak, then they saw the provision, the other provision. That's what's going on here. They saw the provision, but man, there's these huge problems called people. They saw the problem as bigger than the provision and bigger than the guy who provided it, God. It says in verse 29, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. There's so much editing you're gonna have to do. Just leave it in. We'll see who watches this. Okay. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb. So they're basically saying there's all of these enemies. There's all these people. They are huge. They're great. And we're in trouble. Verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. It's obvious that the spies report was upsetting the people that they were reporting to. So Caleb comes in, he's like, hey, wait, listen. Said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. So what did they ignore? They ignored good instruction. Moses told him to be courageous. He told him to go look what kind of people are there, because God had given them the land and they just needed to know what was going on in there, what they were facing. Number two, they ignored not only good instruction, but they ignored God's provision. They ignored how good the land was. They minimized that over and above the children of Anak, over and above the things that were so difficult for them. they ignored the strength that God provided. Not only had God provided more people and resourceful people, Caleb says, we're enough, we've got enough. Really, they had ignored all of the reasons why they had to trust in God's deliverance. God had provided manna, God had provided water, God had provided passage through the Red Sea, God had provided all of the 10 plagues. He had provided all these things to help them be delivered. And as a result, they should have been ready to say, hey, we can go in. Us plus God is a majority. We're going to be fine. They should have had the position that Caleb had, and we also find out that Joshua had, but 10 were bad spies and 2 were good. They said, we cannot do it. And as a result, God says, you can't go in. We're going to see that next week. If you want to fail, if you want to be disobedient and fail, you got to just ignore. Look at your problems rather than looking at your God. Look at your lack rather than what God has provided for you. And be disobedient. It's really a great way to be a disobedient failure. That's exactly what they had. 40 years it cost them. And for many of them that disobeyed, it meant that they did not go into the promised land. I hope this helped you. Let's be obedient. Let's pursue success as God defines it. See you.